pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of this word. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again and ask, Lord, that you would fill us. Fill us with your word. Fill us with your spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be pleased to do this, that you would give us the strength and encouragement we need to go into another week living before your face. We pray this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. Begin reading at verse 8 of John chapter 14, and we'll also be looking at Heidelberg Catechism Lord's Days 8 and 45. 8 and 45. You can find Lord's Day 8 on page 875 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal, and Lord's Day 45 on page 893. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 8. Hear now the word of our God. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking now at Lord's Day 8. Lord's Day 8. Always helpful to be... Remember, this is the Lord's Day on the Trinity, because Article 8 is the article on the Trinity in the Belgic Confession. So you just remember that. Maybe, hopefully. Lord's Day 8, though, is what we're looking at first. Question and answer 24, speaking about the articles of the Apostles' Creed. How are these articles divided? Answer, into three parts: God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our deliverance, and God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. Question answer 25 asks, since there is only one divine being, why do you speak of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Answer, because that is how God has revealed himself in his word. These three distinct persons are one true eternal God. And then turn over to question, or Lord's Day 45, sorry, Lord's Day 45, page 893. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually, with heartfelt longing, ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. Question answer 117 asks, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? Answer, first, we must pray from the heart that to no other than the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word. asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely hear our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. Question answer 118 asks, what has God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer, everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. Question answer 119, what is this prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to a passage in John that speaks to us of the mysteries of the Trinity, but also applies the doctrine of the Trinity to one of the most important of all Christian exercises, that of prayer. And as you look at verses 13 and 14, you probably are also aware that these verses are some of the most misunderstood verses in our day, thanks largely to the Pentecostal and charismatic movements of the last century. So many have wrongly taught that these two verses mean that you can ask the Father for whatever you need, and if you ask it in the name of Jesus, it will happen. They treat the words in the name of Jesus sort of like magic words, like hocus pocus or abracadabra. And if I just say it this way and I pray with these words, then God will do what I want. I hope we see this afternoon that nothing could be farther from the truth. It is also something that our catechism makes abundantly clear to us, and we'll look at that in detail in a moment. But last week we looked at the sure promise that is extended to us, that we will dwell with our God in mansions of glory forever and ever, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when you zoom out for a moment, I hope we can truly see a glimpse of the heart of our Savior, because Philip asked, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Now, this is not altogether a silly question. Jesus does chide Philip here a little bit, because he certainly is missing something that he should have gotten already. He should have understood that in seeing Him, he was also seeing the Father, for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, but also because Jesus is the revealer of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Philip missed that. But please notice in the heart of Philip something that is good and genuine. He wants to see the glory of God, as Jesus described in the previous passage. Philip understands that Jesus is the way to the Father, but he's ready now to see the Father. That's not a bad thing. That's a good desire for Philip to have. But he misses that he can see the glory of the Father in Jesus, who is right there with him. And Jesus corrects him on this. But then Jesus, you notice, moves to talk about believing in His Word and in His works, and then prayer. These are all connected. Because if we are to see Christ, and if we are to see the glory of God the Father, We must believe the words and works of Jesus, and we must pray. We must be people of the book, and we must be people of prayer. Dane Ortlund has a great way of putting this, that Scripture and prayer are to be like breathing in and out. We are to breathe in God's Word, and we are to breathe out prayer. And just as we can't breathe in all the time and never exhale, so we can't do the opposite either. We must also be people who are reading God's Word, hearing God's Word, and praying to God. We must continue to do both. But now let's zoom in on our text for a moment. Philip asked Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." We looked at that, and that it's not a completely off-the-rocker question, but it is a misguided one in some ways, and we see Jesus' correction there in verses 9 through 11. And essentially what Jesus is saying is this: if you are to see and know the Father, if you're going to see me and know me for who I am, you have to understand the doctrine of the Trinity. I'm sure that's not probably what came to your mind when you thought of, I need to know Jesus. How do I get to know Jesus? I have to understand the Trinity. This is a doctrine that's been largely neglected in our current Christian context. I actually kind of wanted to give you a little bit of a test to see if you could actually get a right definition of the Trinity. Maybe I'll do that someday. But I would hope that most Christians today would at least be able to give a simple definition of the Trinity, that we believe there are three persons that exist in one divine essence. Three persons, one God. But to be honest, I'm not so sure that many would be able to give that definition, because they probably have rarely, if ever, heard the word Trinity. Except maybe as the name of a church. Not to mention that when you read many Christian books today, they fall into one of two very serious Christian heresies. On the Pentecostal front, we're seeing it grow and grow. They are moving into oneness theology. They are saying that there is only one God that reveals himself in three ways. Modalism. Or we've gone to the other extreme, where there are three persons and three gods, tritheism. And let us also, as we think about this, and hopefully we're saying, yes, but we believe the right thing, you know. We all struggle, I think, with understanding how does this doctrine of the Trinity actually help me understand God better? And how does this doctrine of the Trinity actually help me in living my life before my God? The temptation is, when it comes to this doctrine, to say, oh, that's too hard. Too hard for me to get. That's complicated. You know, pastors and all these theologians, they're using all these big words, essence and all that. I don't even know what that means, right? Sometimes I don't even know if they do. And so sometimes we think, because it's hard to understand, that, well, it must not be really that important then. And yet Jesus says here, if we are to understand Him, and we are to see Him and the Father, and by default the Holy Spirit as well, we have to understand the Trinity. That's why the Athanasian Creed ends the way it does. This is the Catholic faith. that one cannot be saved without believing it firmly and faithfully. Now we here below are not going to have a perfect understanding or knowledge of God and who He is as triune. But if thinking about Him correctly is important to us, if worshiping Him in truth is important to us, if knowing Him personally is important to us, then we must understand that God is triune. This is a doctrine that is a salvation doctrine. We must believe that, as question answer 25 puts it, God has revealed Himself in this word, in His word, three distinct persons are one true eternal God. Now the temptation that we faced is again, as I said, why does that matter? Does it really make a difference in my life if I believe that God is triune or not? Is it really that big a deal if the teacher says God is like a three-leaf clover? Or God is like a pizza? Or any of those analogies? Is it really that big of a deal? Well, Jesus' answer here is absolutely it does. And is a very big deal. And it makes a big difference in our lives too. Look at verses 12 through 14 with me. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, notice Jesus mentions two things. We will do works. Works that are even greater than what Jesus does. You might be saying, oh wow, how could Jesus say that? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. And we can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and whatever we ask, Jesus will do it. It is important for us to know that those two things are connected. Us doing the works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do, and praying. Those two things go together. And to understand what Jesus is saying here, we have to understand what is the work. What is the work that Jesus is doing, that the apostles will do, and that we will do? What's the work? What did Jesus do in his earthly ministry? Because we can automatically rule out that Jesus does not mean the sacrifice for sins here. Jesus is the once for all sacrifice for sins. Clearly, we are not to be engaged or can be engaged in that work at all. Only Jesus there. But what does Jesus say about his work in earthly ministry? Miracle worker? Is that why he came? No. What does he say in Mark 1, verse 38? Jesus says, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." What was he preaching? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is the work that the apostles are going to do. We are to be Christ's witnesses in the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Proclaiming that we all need to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. that his sacrifice alone is the payment for sin. That we live only because he lives. But if we are to proclaim this gospel in truth, what must we know? We must know that God is triune. I don't have time to explain to you all now all the heresies throughout church history, for there are many of those. But if you do not understand God as triune, you will never understand the atonement of Christ. Just think about that for a moment. How could you possibly understand what Christ did on the cross if you don't understand the Trinity? If you don't understand that Jesus, the God-man, is there on the cross suffering under the wrath of his Father, who is also God? You'll never get it. You'll never understand it. Not that we ever fully can, but you'll be way off the mark real quick. And if we are to be witnesses of the truth of the gospel, that's the work that we are to do. It is the work that Christ was most concerned about in his earthly ministry. We need to know who God is and how we can be reconciled to him. But why does Christ say that our work, the work of the church, is going to be greater than what Jesus does? Isn't Jesus the greatest preacher that ever lived? Absolutely. I don't think any of us would debate that for a moment. So how can Jesus say this? Because of the extent to which the gospel would go. Remember, in Jesus' ministry, the gospel barely reached outside the borders of Israel. Only a few miles away at times. What happened with the apostles after Pentecost? The gospel went to the four corners of the globe. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's the betterness, the greaterness of God's work in the church and through the church. And it is this that is directly connected then to what Jesus says in verses 13 and 14. For we cannot hope to proclaim the gospel and be salt and light in the world in our own strength. We need God and his strength, and so we must ask for it in prayer. Hence Jesus says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Because whatever you are to ask is connected to the task of spreading the gospel and qualified to glorifying God, just as Christ glorifies the Father. Did we catch that? What we are to pray for, the whatever we pray for, is not, I would like a lollipop. Okay? It is directly connected to what is the task that Christ has given to us. And it is also qualified by everything that we ask for in prayer should be for the glory of God. Hence, question answer 117 is very helpful in how it starts. It says, how does God want us to pray so that he will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God. And we could insert in there our triune God. Right? Who has revealed himself to us in his word, asking for everything that he has commanded us to ask of him. And then question and answer 118. What has God commanded us to ask of him? Everything we need spiritually and physically as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord himself taught us. And when we look at the Lord's Prayer, if we were to summarize all the petitions, it would be that we are wanting our God to be glorified and that all of God's people would be edified. That they'd be built up and strengthened, physically and spiritually. That God would be glorified and his kingdom would continue to spread and go forth in power, saving us and saving all of God's people. And when we think about that, and we think about how important it is to pray to God in truth, how important it is to share the truth of the gospel, I think we quickly understand that the doctrine of the Trinity is of central importance to the Christian faith and to our lives. We have to begin to grasp this. We cannot use the excuse that this is too hard for me to understand. As my mother would say when I was in trouble, but this just applies now, God gave you a brain, use it. We have to work to understand these things. They don't come easy. We, naturally to ourselves, will never understand God rightly. We have to learn who he is. And if we are going to grow in our witness for him and grow in our prayer life, understanding more how we are to pray and what we are to pray for, we must understand the doctrine of the Trinity. Just as a simple way of helping us understand the importance of that, look what Jesus says in verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice that phrase, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Where is Jesus' emphasis of his life? He wants the Father to be glorified. That helps us understand that everything we do is to be for the glory of our God. And then notice, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What's the anything there? Everything good for the church. And so, brothers and sisters, if we truly understand who our God is, that is going to shape how we minister to each other, how we encourage one another, but also how we pray. Just think for a moment, if you will, about how much more clarity we have about who our God is in the New Testament and the fuller revelation of God as triune there. And how much more comfort is given to us because we know God as such, as opposed to the Old Testament. where yes, the doctrine of the Trinity is there, but it is very much more veiled. Think about the great comfort it is for us to know God as Father. And what comfort it is to know that our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and died in our place and is reigning and ruling over us. And think about how comforting it is to know that the Holy Spirit personally applies to us all the benefits of Christ. We talk about, we all need, we're getting in an age where everything's losing its personal touch. Everything's all computerized and all those things, right? And yet, here we have it. All the blessings of God are given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. There is glory here. There is comfort here. There is glorious reality that is here. Please do not miss this. And brothers and sisters, as we think about the doctrine of the Trinity, may it always fill our hearts and minds with wonder. This is who our God is. And we could go on and on about this. I have to stop at some point. But just think about how beautiful it is to be in relationship with a God who in and of Himself is a relational God because He's triune. Think about how wonderful it is that we serve a God who makes all things for His glory but is completely selfless at the same time. And you wonder, how is that possible? Well, because the Father does everything for the glory of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the Son always does everything for the glory of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit always does everything for the glory of the Father and the Son. And they exist together in a relationship of perfect love. This is the God that we have communion with. Yes, our brains should hurt. But it should also just fill us with awe and wonder. This is the God in whom we live with. And it is wonderful. And in fact, there's nothing better. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage of Your most precious word. We thank You, Lord, that You have revealed Yourself to us. A people who are so undeserving. And yet You have revealed Yourself to us as You really and truly are. We pray, O Lord, that You would help us always to think of You in terms of the doctrine of Trinity. Help us, O Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father. For we are always and constantly tempted to shrink You down to more manageable size. Help us, Heavenly Father, through the truth of Your Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to understand You rightly, that we would be faithful witnesses of Yours in the world, correctly teaching the things that You have revealed to us, being salt and light in this world. But also, Lord, we pray that as we grow in our relationship with You, as we look at Your Word, as we pray to You, would You grow us in our understanding of how we are in relationship with you, our triune God. Help us to pray rightly, understanding who you are, but also what we are to pray for. Give us a heart like yours, O Lord. A heart that is selfless. A heart that seeks your glory. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be pleased to do these things in our hearts and minds for the glory of your name, Heavenly Father, and for the building up and edification of your church. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.